Welcome to the Week in Sports Cars on the Marshall Pruitt Podcast. Dear friend, man across the pond, man of civility, man of dignity, man of the people, man, I also like him too. That'd be Graham Goodwin, editor of DailySportsCar.com, who's breaking things in the background because he's also a strong man as well. We won't talk.
Just doing the recycling, my friend.
Yeah, there we go.
That was the description of me. I wonder who is coming on as a special guest for me. Well, wouldn't happen. It didn't sound like me.
Fair point. You know, I might have oversold things a little bit. Hey, why don't we do this, Graham Goodwin? Why don't we take a little pause, let the kind folks who make our show possible get their flowers, and then we will come right back, and we're going to do a short-ish Flappy Gums, just you and I talking about things episode, and then get on about our day. Time to say a big thank you to our show partners on the Marshall Pruitt Podcast, starting with FAF Technologies, build-to-print composites manufacturing company. They're specializing in medium to large-scale automotive, motorsports, and military applications. Visit FAFTechnologies.com. It's P-F-A-F-F Technologies.com to learn more about their services and how they can benefit your business. Next, it's the Justice Brothers, makers of premium additives, lubricants, and cleaners, and servicing the automotive and motorsports industries for more than 85 years, with victories in all the biggest North American motor races, including the Indianapolis 500, the 24 Hours of Daytona. The Justice Brothers products are truly race-proven. Learn about their vast history and range of offerings at justicebrothers.com. If you're fond of awesome motor racing collectibles, including FAF Motorsports McLaren gear and goodies, pay a visit to torontomotorsports.com. And finally, we have a new online merchandise home for the podcast, thepruittstore.com, for all the show stickers, models, racing memorabilia I'm trying to sell and put towards our fund to buy a house is now live and rocking. ThePruittStore.com.
All right, Mr. Goodwin. So I am driving down to WeatherTech Raceway, Laguna Seca, early tomorrow morning, early doors, as you would say. Be there Thursday through Saturday. Head home Saturday afternoon. Actually, it's a Sunday race, so I'll miss that. But then get on a big bird and fly from the Bay Area to Indianapolis Sunday morning, where I will spend the next 2 weeks with that little jamboree called the Indy 500. You and our dear pal, Stephen Kilby. What do we call him? Quadruple executive editor of Daily Sports Car?
No, we don't give him a title. He's significant in his own right. That's all we can say about Steve.
Janitor emeritus. Maybe that's what we call him. But our good guy, Stephen Kilby, will indeed be stepping in for me for the next 2 weeks while I will be sequestered at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. But we don't have a lot of time today, brother. So why don't we dive into some things of interest, you both on the weckety weck side. A bunch of cool things happening recently in terms of racing, more coming up. We got IMSA, obviously, this weekend in Monterey. And I don't know, do we start talking about some of the changes that are not confirmed, but we'll be on the lookout for them being confirmed in IMSA next year?
Well, I think you're the man to do it. I think, as I tweeted out, the two biggest stories in IMSA upcoming, as far as we know at the moment, both broken by you, my friend, in the same story.
No, I'm sorry for breaking things. I do that on occasion. they tell me to not do that. But yeah, the Long Beach Grand Prix was a very informative event. That event hosting not only IndyCar, but also IMSA and the WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. Been hearing a lot of things. You and I discussed a ton of things in the weeks, if not months prior, on background. And Long Beach was indeed very educational about where many things are said to be headed here in the GTP ranks. We know what leading into Sebring, I think, on Racer, we did that bad thing again and broke stuff about the Chip Ganassi Racing team parting ways with Cadillac. They are Cadillac Racing. That is actually how they're branded on the entry list for them in GTP. They will be splitting at the end of the year. So we knew Ganassi would be on the lookout for a new GTP program. don't know if that's going to happen, Graham, in time for 2025. Still possibilities, right? But of the many things that I learned or had, call it confirmed to me, but not confirmed formally to the public by teams or manufacturers, I'd thought Chip Ganassi Racing was going to be the natural destination for an Acura program. Why is that? Been hearing forever that Michael Andretti, who is deeply aligned with General Motors and Cadillac for the Cadillac Andretti Formula One team they endeavor to create, there had been a matching effort to align themselves with Cadillac on the IMSA side. They obviously represent through the Wayne Taylor Racing with Andretti GTP program, Acura with a two-car effort. Just been hearing for a good long while, so had you, so had others, that Michael Andretti specifically, who, however we should describe this, I've been told Michael Andretti outright bought Wayne Taylor Racing. He said it to me in an interview with Wayne sitting next to him. After the interview, Wayne asked me to please modify that and said that wasn't true. I'm not doubting either one. I'm just saying we've heard that Andretti outright bought the thing. We've also had Wayne push back and say, no, that's incorrect. Regardless of what it is, we do know that Michael Andretti is not a passive partner in all of this. And so the talk that we'd heard of Wayne Taylor Racing with Andretti Global, spearheaded by Andretti in trying to align further with his friends at GM and Cadillac, extending to GTP, made all the sense in the world. Thought for a while there, it was heavily rumored the program leaving Ganassi could and would indeed be headed to grow Action Express Racing, the one other team the one other team that fields Cadillacs, since learned that that's not the case, and again have had it told to me, confirmed to me, but not publicly formally confirmed, that indeed Wayne Taylor Racing with Andretti and Cadillac will be in a new partnership starting in 2025 in GTP. That would then lead...
I'm worth adding here, MP, that would be a net gain of a car to the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, because whilst no two-car effort for Action Express, that does not mean their single-car effort goes away.
Correct. So then the, okay, if we're looking at how the dominoes would fall, then okay, so the Ganassi Cadillacs, they would... push those over to, bless you, push those down to the WTRA transporters after Petit Le Mans is over in October, and those are your cars. And the thinking was, well, Chip Ganassi Racing is Honda Racing Corporation US's best team in IndyCar, has been for many years, winner of multiple championships in Indy 500 in 2022, and they are the top member of the Honda family there. Would only be natural to think of them to then get Honda's factory GTP program with the Acura brand. Learned in Long Beach, that isn't happening. And the major revelation that came out, and again, confirmed to me, but not confirmed publicly by team or manufacturer, the genuine surprise, the whiplash, the what? Meyer-Shank Racing, back to Acura, getting the Wayne Taylor Racing with Andretti deal, if that's the right way to put it. Knowing that WTRA is, again, said to be voluntarily leaving to go to Cadillac, the contracts that they, as they have been described to me many, many times, were two-year deals, right? Both with Ganassi, makes sense, 2023, brand new GTP formula, two-year deal with Cadillac. Also heard that with WTRA, two-year deal with Acura. So in both cases, both efforts would be up for bid, up for potential change leading into 2025. But keep in mind that there would be multiple bidders for each, and had heard and known that Meyer-Shank Racing was actively trying to get a new GTP program to get back in the series after their single car effort went away at the end of 2023. But yeah, that to me, brother, was, I don't know if shock is the word. Things obviously didn't end well with the whole cheating scandal that really expedited the divorce at the end of 2023 with Acura. But the idea that when we come back to the roar before the 24 next year in January, and should be seeing Meyershank Racing Acuras. What do you think about that? Makes me happy because I like a little team. Obviously not happy about the cheating thing, but how does that strike you?
It was a big surprise. I know your story sent some ripples around, I'm sure, not just the IMSA paddock, but amongst the fan base as well. And I think, as you quite rightly said, people happy to see that Meyershank Racing have found a way back. There is, I think, MP, a bit of a common theme here around the deals that appear to be being done by Acura, by Cadillac, on both sides of the Atlantic, which is to do with just exactly how this, it's fair to say, cost escalation in GTP and hypercar is being offset by multiple manufacturers. And it is these teams that do have a really solid commercial backing team behind them that might well be able to be helpful and assisting in making this a two rather than a one car effort. Potentially one fully funded car, I would hazard a guess here, one car with some significant assistance from the suite of backers that each of those organizations have got. And there's a self-staringly obvious solution as well for the WEC side for Cadillac, as and when that's determined and when that's announced. What we're seeing here is the next phase in this new top-class prototype story that has to acknowledge the thing that I know has taken a lot of the teams by surprise, and it's certainly cramping the style of those teams that would look to expand this privateer side of things, which is that the operating costs of these new cars, some reasons beyond the control of the organisers and the wheel makers, has expanded way beyond the point that anybody expected it would.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see what this looks like. Of the things I've heard, in terms of some, maybe not all, but some of the potential new manufacturer alignments with some teams next year, and maybe in one case, I can't say if in all cases, there might be some new requests for the teams to bear more of the financial burden, right? Instead of it being a manufacturer spending 100% to facilitate the program with whichever team, in light of the costs being not insignificant, have heard that maybe there are some new requests for a little bit of sharing or shouldering of those costs. So anyways, it'd be interesting to see that. The only other manufacturer that I've heard of, if we're talking a soonish timeline that comes to mind, is Alpine. And it's been floating around for a while. Anything from a, hey, full factory, serious hardcore thing in GTP to, what if it was more like a one car thing to, hey, maybe what if it was that deal where the team was a pretty significant contributor to the budget. Had heard that died down, Graham, was gone effectively. And then within the last week, someone who would know, can't say who because it wasn't an on the record conversation, but someone who would absolutely know told me that Alpine is continuing to talk to folks about coming over to America. So interesting times, my brother.
It is. And what we've got here, I mean, I'm talking to you on a slightly crackly WhatsApp line across the pond, from a little lodge, a little kind of holiday village just outside Spa, where we're setting up camp and ready for the Le Mans WC race this weekend. Pretty much unchanged grid, a couple of driver changes with the continued absence of Fernie Habsburg after his sizable testing shot in an Alpine, and a couple of other bits and pieces too. But everything here is about pre-Le Mans. It's about what's going to be kind of setting up there. We've just had the provisional entry list that names the drivers, pretty much all the drivers that we're expecting to see at Le Mans. I do expect to see some changes still to come on that list. I mean, you know, the cost of that will be borne, of course, by the teams, should that happen, because that's the way the regulations work. But amongst those confirmed now, Felipe Drugovich with Action Express. We already knew what the two Ganassi cars would be seeing, Alex Palou and Scott Dixon aboard those cars, as well as their regular drivers. We've got the confirmation of the final driver squad for the third of the Porsche 963s. So the fabulous-looking grid for the hypercars is set. LMP2 with some really head-turning talent that's kicking around there as well. For me, one of the biggest surprises, and this came our way during the European Le Mans Series weekend just gone at Paul Ricard, is the name against one of the LMGT3 cars. It's a bit of a switcheroo. It's the 155 car from Spirit of Race that will actually welcome father and son Danish team. May or may not be names familiar to you, but Johnny and Konrad Laursen. But it's the third driver. Those two guys normally drive in the European Le Mans Series with Ferrari hypercar driver Nick Nielsen, who obviously isn't available to them. So which Danish driver have they got for what has been traditionally an all-Danish squad?
Tom Jordan Christensen.
Well, no. From what I hear, it's Tom's son, Oliver, who is in driver management, that has made the link to put Jordan in their direction.
Yeah.
My understanding is...
How fun.
There you go. IndyCar talent was mentioned in relation to that potential drive. Formula One talent... Yes, Kevin Magnussen was mentioned. They could make that one work. So somehow Jordan Taylor will be in a full house GT3 car, in this case an LMGT3 car, for the first time since, I believe, 2017, because I'm not counting the ex-GTE C8R Corvettes that obviously has been in the last couple of seasons. But I think the last time we saw Jordan Taylor in a GT3 car was the Cadillac, in which he won in Sprint X back in 2017. So that's quite some switch for Jordan, but delighted to see that we're going to see him at Le Mans. Lots
Sprint
going on
X.
Here.
I haven't heard that. Sprint. No, Sprint X. I haven't heard that in a while. And you know what? I just realized I really didn't need to hear it again. But hey, it existed. Oh boy.
Well, so there was one big headline that could have significance here that has already reared its head at Spa this weekend, and that is, in their infinite wisdom, the local authorities here in this region have opted to completely rebuild the main access road to Spa-Francorchamps. That work, I believe, started in March. It is in no way complete.
Mm.
So at the moment, what would normally be a two-lane road to and from the main gate at La Source is at the moment better part of a farm track going in only, and is completely deconstructed for the exit. So a completely different traffic system has been established for a race. We expect to see north of 50,000 people turning up for this weekend, with what I gather is fantastic weather expected, and it's a Saturday race. So what am I expecting? I'm expecting absolute traffic carnage, and that's not a good thing at this point. So quite who determined that was the time frame that was going to be followed through for that work? I suspect it's going to have some serious questions to answer on Monday morning.
Wow. What else do we want to get into? This is going to be a short episode, like truly a couple more minutes, maybe at most. But what do you think?
I think we're, for the moment, with your Indy 500 commitments coming, and there's lots of stories bubbling under here and elsewhere, we're going to have plenty to talk about. What I'm going to try and do on Monday is get a call for questions out. We've not done that one for a little while with commitments you've had, commitments I've had, but get a call for questions out. And we're going to try and do that as a post-Spa, post-Laguna Seca wrap-up of what's going on. You're going to be seeing, I think, quite a colourful grid this weekend MP with new liveries for the factory Mustangs, new livery for Pfaff. Of course, Pfaff Technology is one of our backers here at the weekend sports cars, but Pfaff Motorsport with is it going to be four, I think they've told us, special liveries kicking around. And actually, I don't think it's a special livery, but quite the headline for Will Turner & Co., Turner Motorsport, passing an historic 557 races this weekend, which means they will be the team in BMW Motorsport history that will have represented the brand on the most occasions, overtaking, Schnitzer. Of all things, Schnitzer Motor.
I mean,
amazing.
Wow, yeah. We're, everything you mentioned, we're doing videos with IMSA on the Mustang liveries with Turner. For Racer, we're doing a video with Puffaff about the Puff of McLaren. And it's, Senna tribute livery. All kinds of fun stuff. And it's not for public consumption, and so I can't reveal it now, but I can tell you that of the many reasons I'm driving down a day before cars get on track, we will be spending 3 hours starting tomorrow afternoon into somewhat deep into the evening filming what I think might be one of the most extraordinary things I will have seen in sports car racing in a super long time. I also have to raise my hand and say it was an idea that I had along with another key person at IMSA, and we came up with this idea and tried to do it at Daytona, weren't able to, you know what it is, but we can't say it, but tried to do this in January, weren't able, but this is finally happening tomorrow. So you will certainly see images and videos and all kinds of stuff coming out from it. But yeah, you want to talk about IMSA, and I mean, don't get me wrong, it's not like IMSA is the only one. WEC, ELMS, so on. I mean, there are a number of sports car championships throughout the world that are really thriving right now. But IMSA, at least here on the home front, is, boy, this, I think, should just lead folks to smile and go, yeah, things are really good right now, and hopefully that continues for a long, long time. So,
I agree. It's tens of thousands of people at races that just a year or so ago we would have seen a fraction of that. Every race I'm going to at the moment in Europe for the WEC, for the European Le Mans Series, if we're not breaking record attendances, we're getting darn close to it. And it is a great time to be involved in, being part of folding back those layers and allowing people to see what lies beneath in sports car racing. And we will keep doing that on both sides of the pond. So enjoy your weekend, MP. Enjoy the racing. We can do the same here at Spa-Francorchamps for 6 hours of WEC racing on Saturday, and it's 2 hours 40 minutes at Laguna Seca on Sunday, and lots of ways of following that action live and free online.
I got four words for you. Take us home, Graham.
I will do that. Thank you very much indeed, MP, for making the time to catch us all up with some extraordinary stories on racer.com over the last couple of days. He has been Marshall Pruitt, and
he's
will
the
be a very busy boy.
He's the has-been, no, Marshall Pruitt. Let's be accurate.
And we'll be en route to Indianapolis after that. I've been Graham Goodwin from dailysportscar.com, and I'll be busy this weekend on duty with the WEC TV crew. We will be back with you next week with guest presenter Stephen Kilby for the next couple of weeks, filling in for Marshall Pruitt on Indy 500 matters. With thanks again to Pfaff Technologies, to the Justice Brothers, and to TorontoMotorsports.com. This has been The Week in Sports Cars. Back next week.